Well, it's great to be with you again. Here we are in the last part of our series on Deep and Wide. And we've been exploring this question of what does it mean for us to go both deep in our faith, but also have our hearts expanded so we can go wide in inviting many people, or as many people as is our potential, to experience the life and the love of God through Good Life. We have so many different expressions of community right across Good Life. And we've been using this metaphor of a home and talking about what's our role in the neighborhood as Good Life. What does it mean for us to have a foyer where we create a place of hospitality and welcome, and how we help guests actually experience that? And then what does it look like for us to create an environment? Last week we were saying the lounge environment, where guests become friends, where people find community. From their first time that they've turned up to something, there's actually an environment or a space that really helps them feel like they can be included in community, where they say, hey, look, I've found some friends. I've met some people who I can actually journey with life with, where you don't feel isolated and disconnected, or feel like you turn up to a gathering or a church service or whatever it may be and feel like, I don't know where I fit, or no one knows me here. Today, we're going to be talking about what it means to go from being friends in the lounge room to actually becoming family in the kitchen. And we're going to talk about really the whole idea of team today. And here's what we know. When you meet people in your neighborhood and you invite them to your home for the first time, they come through the foyer as a guest. You may invite them to your lounge room where you get to know them, and we kind of mix the metaphors up. Could be a barbecue. But you know what we mean when we say when you come into the lounge room, that's where we find friendship. But normally speaking, when you invite someone as a guest into your home, they don't straight away go to the kitchen and, go to the fridge and get some food out. They don't, come and pack up the dishes after a dinner and use your dishwasher. That's a little bit weird. That's normally what happens when friends really become kind of like family, where you're doing life together and you're going deep, and people feel super comfortable to be in your kitchen environment. And so that's what it means for us to kind of holistically think about what does it mean at Good Life for us to move from just being an attender or a guest or someone who just turns up to the different environments to transitioning to that place on your journey where you say, you know what, I think I'm ready to be part of the team here. I think I'd like to feel like I'm part of the family, part of the furniture, where you feel comfortable to be in a kitchen environment where not only do you contribute, but you actually share responsibility and you actually go really deep in your relationship with both the people that you're on team with, but also in your relationship with God. So in this Deep and Wide series, we've been looking at what does it look like for us to go really deep in relationship? And it's in the kitchen that we actually have those tough conversations. It's in the kitchen that we actually, we really do life together. We work out what's our roles and what's our responsibility. What does it mean for us to play our part at Good Life in making sure that we're loving our neighbors, you've got that commitment to that we're actually playing our part in the foyer. Because to be part of the family or be part of the team means to say, I'm going to intentionally make sure that our foyer environments are welcoming and hospitable environments. And then what's my role in the lounge room? My role in the lounge room is to make sure that I'm not only inviting people into relationship, but I'm helping build these environments and these spaces where people can move from being a guest to becoming a friend. And in the kitchen, these are different environments. For some of us, this may be a leadership or a team environment. It may be a life group, or it may be a group that's committed to going, really deep in our spiritual formation. Whatever that space looks like in the kitchen, the reality is we've discovered friendship, we've found a place of belonging, but we realize that God is calling us to a deeper life of transformation and responsibility in contributing to His purposes and His kingdom. So I want to spend a few minutes looking at a couple of passages of scripture, and these are found in Paul's writings to the Ephesians and also a letter that the Apostle Paul, who was one of the leaders in the church, wrote to the church in Corinth in Greece to encourage them about what it means to actually be family on mission, what it means to see ourselves, the metaphor he uses, as the body of Christ, that Christ is the head and that we are all this one body. And what does it mean for us to all find our role and know our part in this body? But in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, he says some really interesting things. He says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, and he literally ended up becoming a prisoner for the gospel because the message that he was preaching and what he was about was a great threat to both the religious establishment, but also the Roman Empire. And so he says, a prisoner for serving the Lord, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. And so this is an invitation where Paul says, hey, you're called by God. Let's live up to that calling. Let's live a life that demonstrates that we're committed to the call that God has on our lives. He says, always be humble. In other words, these next verses are an example of what it looks like. Always be humble and be gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Remember last week we were talking about the lounge environment and we were saying we need to create the kind of environment where we accept people as they are, that we make allowance for the faults that we see in others, knowing that we're on a journey of transformation to becoming like Christ. And that just doesn't happen in a few seconds. It's actually a lifelong journey that we're going in community together. And so he gives very specific instruction. He says, let's make sure that we're making allowance for each other's faults because of your love, which is what this whole deep idea is about. How deep is God's love in us and how deep is our heart embedded in that love towards others? He says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. So in community and in relationship, when we do life together in the kitchen, the commitment is to say, hey, let's make sure that we're being united. And that doesn't mean that we're all the same. Sometimes when people think about unity, they think uniformity. Unity isn't about us all looking and being the exact same. It's about embracing the diversity of our personalities, of our different gifts, even our different ways of seeing things, our different perspectives on God and life and faith, but actually making a commitment in our hearts to say, let's be united in the Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ. He says, for there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father for all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he's given each of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and he gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. And he names these particular gifts, which are they're people, but they're actually specifically roles that are there to actually equip and encourage and help the church to go on that journey of becoming like Christ. And he says, these are the gifts that God's given to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. And he says, this will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. That's another way of saying, let's be deep in our faith, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So the goal is that we would become mature, that we would look like Christ, that we would live up to the life that Christ invites us into. This is the goal. And then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. See this goal he keeps referring to, that we would become more and more like Christ. In verse 16, he makes the whole body fit perfectly together. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Again, the emphasis is the body of Christ, we're becoming like Christ, and the goal is that we're growing to become full of love. And we've been emphasizing this the last number of weeks in this series, Deep and Wide. deep isn't about how much knowledge you have, so to speak. And that's not to say that knowledge doesn't have an important role to play in how we understand who God is. It's just that learning about God or learning about the scripture doesn't necessarily automatically translate into becoming a loving person like Christ. There are many people, there are religious people who know the scriptures back to front, who they can beat us in any debate theologically, but their life doesn't look like a life of love that we see in the example of Christ. And so this is the challenge that we have. Now, when Paul writes his letter to the Corinthians, he encourages them similarly about the gifts that they have. And he uses this metaphor of the body. And he says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and some of us Gentiles. Some are slaves and some are free. Now, obviously, we don't have slavery in the exact same way that they did at this time, but he's kind of speaking culturally to what's happening in this day and age. And he says, but we have all been baptized into the body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body's got many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And he goes on again to talk in that passage about the fact that God, by the Spirit, has given us all different gifts. And we have so many different ways to express what it means to be God's church. Now, as we wrap up this series, what I want to be encouraging you in this whole series is to say, what are the different environments we have at Good Life that helps us go deep and also go wide? And what's my role in these environments? And the reality is, as you go on your journey of faith or as you come into community at Good Life, there's going to be so many opportunities for you to express your gifts and your talents. And the reality is, we need you. We need you to play your part. We need everyone to play the various parts that make up the different environments that we have. And so one of the ways that we're talking about that is this. Here's some of the commitments that we make when we decide to become family on mission, or in using the metaphor of the kitchen, we say, listen, we're part of the team now. You're in the family. And when you're in the family, you don't just kind of just sit on the lounge or hang at the front door or sit out the back and do nothing. When you're part of a family, there's responsibilities and you contribute. And we want to hear what you think about things. And we want to know how we can actually make this home an incredible place of hospitality that is welcoming, that's inviting, where community can happen, and where we don't just live for ourselves, but we actually see ourselves as people sent to go out of our home and to love our neighbors really well. So some of the ways that we're saying this is, if we're going to be in the kitchen and we're going to be family or we're going to be part of the team, let's do life together. That means, quite simply, a good life. Some expressions of this could be, you join a team. You may join the kids team and help serve and look after our kids. You may join the youth team, young adults team. You may be part of our welcoming and hospitality team at Good Life. And there is just so many different teams and examples right across Good Life that you can explore about what that means. But here's what I've discovered. People find amazing community when they actually join a team, when they use their gifts and talents. And if you say, well, I've got an amazing gift to sing, or I've got an amazing gift to speak, and there might not be an opportunity immediately for you to do that. But here's what I've discovered. When you get involved and you start serving in an area where there's a need, pretty soon people get to know you, relationship gets established, and then people find out, oh, I didn't know that you could sing, or I didn't know that you're great at speaking, or I didn't know that you're great at doing art, or you're amazing at working with children. I had no idea that you had, you know, a real interest in helping teenagers, you know, grow up and become, you know, mature young adults. And so when we start serving where there's an opportunity, it's amazing how things progress, often into those areas where our gift sets really align. And this is really an exciting thing when that starts to happen. Another example of doing life together is joining a life group. And we have so many of these across the church. And you may even want to be part of, you know, hosting a life group or starting a new one. And there's an opportunity for us to invite people in and to go deep on a journey long term where we discover what does it mean to follow Jesus and serve him on team. So the first thing is we make a commitment to do life together. That's what we do in the kitchen. The second component is we share responsibility together. Now, sharing responsibility at Good Life looks like so many different things, but some examples of what it means to share life together is serving, getting involved, seeing a need and saying, oh, there's no one to welcome today, I'm going to help if I can. Or there's no one to, you know, clean up, set up, pack down, clean up the dishes after a dinner event that we've hosted. And this is what the family does. When we're in the kitchen, we all play our part and we serve. So that's one aspect. The next aspect is we share responsibility together through our giving, financially, maybe giving of our time. But these are really important. We have responsibilities. We have a big vision. We've got a big mission. And we're saying, look, what does it mean for us to contribute just like you do in a house? When you become a young adult, or at least when I was a young adult, the idea was that you started working and then you played board to contribute to the family home, to contribute to the meals. But when you're a kid, your parents kind of cover everything. And as a matter of fact, even then you do a couple of chores around the house, you expect to get pocket money. But when you mature and you become an adult and you actually play your part in the family, you actually see yourself as giving and contributing. And so we invite people in the kitchen to say, what does it look like for me to say, God, our family together, let's discern what are we going to contribute and how are we actually going to play our part in this part of the community. And the other aspect of sharing responsibility is to say, I want to be an encouraging presence in this community. My role isn't just to turn up to the different environments and to sit there and say, cool, entertain me. When you're part of the team, you actually turn up to the different environments and you think, man, how can I encourage the people who are serving in this environment today? How can I make sure that our music team, our production crew, our welcomers, our kids team, our youth team, the people working behind the scenes that often don't get seen at all, the people that are cleaning, packing down, doing a lot of those things, how do I make sure that I'm an encouraging presence who's cheering people on and letting people know that we really appreciate their contribution? And then the third aspect, so the first is we do life together, the second is we share responsibility together, and the third aspect is our role in the kitchen is to realize we don't just exist to stay in the kitchen. We are called to go out our front door and to go meet our neighbors and to love the world that God has called us to. And this is what it really means. And so I encourage people to think in terms of, let's do this together. Let's not do this in isolation. Let's love our neighborhood, let's serve our community, and let's find the area that we're passionate about in the community. And as we do this, let's not do it in isolation, let's go together and cheer one another on. And when we gather back in our home in the kitchen environment, let's share stories, let's celebrate together. Let's talk about the things that's been tough, and let's talk about the things that's been really exciting. And I think if we can capture this vision and we can live this calling out, everyone playing their gifts, and this doesn't happen, you know, I don't want to paint some utopian vision of this as this like simple, easy thing. We're working out together as a family how to do this. What does it mean for this? And it takes work, it takes effort, it takes time sometimes. But if we make the commitment in our hearts to God first of all and to one another, then we can truly become a family on mission, play our role as part of the team, and see that every aspect of this environment, our neighborhood, our foyer, our lounge, and our kitchen is being well served, and they're beautiful spaces for community and relationship. So I hope you're encouraged by this series. And I hope that you, we can all finish this series together, praying in our hearts, saying, God, help me to continue to go deep in my walk with you. May your love go deep into my heart, and may I express this love through the gifts and the talents and the different environments that we have at Good Life. And may many, many people come to know the life of Jesus and the power of the gospel through the loving community that we create at Good Life. Let it be so. Let's pray as we wrap up this series. Lord God, we need your help. We need faith and courage to faithfully respond to what it is you're calling us to do. Help us to discern in these different environments, in the neighborhood, what does it look like for me to love my neighbor? In the foyer, how can I make sure that when people turn up to our different foyer environments, that I make a commitment in my heart that no one stands alone, that we can all together play our role in welcoming and creating places of hospitality. And Lord, help us to be courageous in moving from being a guest to finding friendship and community, and also facilitating and making those spaces easy for other people to find friendship. And Lord, help us to, if we haven't yet taken the step, to say, I want to make a commitment to become part of the family that's on mission, part of the team, where we are part of the kitchen and we share the responsibilities, where we make a commitment to go deep in our relationships and our commitment to God, and where we discover what it means for us to go in community to our neighbors and to love the world around about us. So guide us, help us, and may we be a church that truly is both deep and wide. In Jesus' name, amen.